Hello and welcome to the DLTV podcast. My name is Andrew Williamson.
And I'm Mel Cashman.
This episode is part of a series that will focus on what is going on in digital learning and teaching. We have some exciting podcasts planned for the rest of 2017, including talking to some of the authors of articles in our DLTV journal, keynotes from the DigiCon conference, and finding out what is happening in some of our member schools.
So tonight we actually get to find out a little bit about what's happening in one of our member schools. We've got Narissa Leung. Sorry, I probably just messed that up. We've just been talking about the pronunciation of your name, Narissa.
No, that was good.
So Narissa's the principal of Campbell's Creek Primary School and Guildford Primary School, and passionate about the effective use of digital technologies and really creating an engaging curriculum at her school. She comes with a huge log of different accolades of and experiences that she's had, but one that really comes to the top is the fact that she was the recipient of the prestigious Lindsay Thompson Fellowship Award in 2012. So it's an award for exemplary and innovative teaching and learning practice. So we're really excited to have you along tonight, Narissa.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. So you've been the principal now for a few years at Campbell's Creek and Guildford Primary School. So we just sort of would really like to know about the schools that you've got there and how it works, the two schools, whether it's worked at a campus or are they separate sort of schools? And what advice that you actually have for people being a new principal and what that brings with it. So do you want to just give us a little bit of background?
Yeah, sure. So Campbell's Creek and Guildford Primary Schools are two schools in Castlemaine, so in about an hour and a half out of Melbourne. Campbell's Creek has 120 students and Guildford this year has 8 students. We had 21 last year, but that's the nature of rural schools. You can have an influx one year and then a dip the next. I'm in my fourth year at the schools, and they're in a what's called a hub annex arrangement. So basically, about 20 years ago, when the Victorian government were looking at closing schools, they gave an option to schools that if they could attach themselves to a larger school, a hub, then they can have one principal over two schools. So they're two completely separate schools, but they have one principal, and we now have one strategic plan, thankfully, and one school council as of this year. That's brand new. So previously we had two school councils and two school council meetings. So it's very nice to only have one meeting to go to now. Yeah, so I think a lot's happening for you. I was thinking about it at the start of the year, and I think every year in your role as principal, you focus on something different. So in the first year, I was trying to work out what the job actually was and what I was supposed to be doing and what does a principal even do, because when I was in the classroom, you don't often see what the principal does apart from, the standing up at assembly and talking to the parents. First year I kind of set about trying to work out what the job was. And I spent a lot of time in the first year on behaviour management and that reactionary stuff, because with a change in principal and how things had been set up in the school previously, and spent a lot of time getting to know parents and really working out the different strengths and weaknesses of the schools. And then in the second year, I kind of felt a bit more I wouldn't say relaxed. I don't think I'll ever use that word. A bit more comfortable in that, when regional office or central office said that something was due, then I didn't have to teach myself how to do the thing that was due. So I thought, oh, well, I've already done this once, so I'm not learning it all totally from scratch. So
So it sounds really similar to a teacher, a new teacher coming out, but it's just a different role to that, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And you just focus on something different. And I remember when I was teaching the classroom, the first year I was really focusing on behaviour management. And then once I got that under control, the next year I really started to actually focus on teaching. Sorry, all those first years that I had. So, I think you become a better model of yourself each year as you go along. So this year I've focused on something completely different to what I've been at. Last year I did lots of policy and procedures, and I just didn't have the headspace for that in the first year. So now I've had the time to do that, and then, yeah, I've got new challenges this year. So but I feel you feel a bit more comfortable each year, and that you have some idea about how to deal with things when they come up.
Do you have a network of other principals that you can converse with and network with?
Yeah, I think probably something that's come about from being in a member of the tech world is that networking is really something that's really important to me. So I actively go out and try to develop networks for different things. So and part of that Lindsay Thompson Fellowship that I was so lucky to get in 2012 was that I got money to travel all over the world to look at different schools. So I really made sure that when I did that I built that network as well. So I had contacts that I could go back to ask questions. But also I go to a lot of conferences, so I have that type of the network outside of my location network. And then we have a network of principals, 20 principals within the Castlemaine area. So was elected as the network chair for that last year. So now I get the opportunity to be in a position where I can help, inspire and build the capacity of the other principals in the network to work together and kind of do action research for the benefit of the students across our whole network. So, yeah, I think networking is so important for your own well-being as well. So I now know who I can go to for different things, you know, which principals are strong in say technical leadership, which ones are strong in cultural leadership, and who I can send an email to or who I can call. And I think that really helps.
Yeah, fabulous. I think that message is probably, you could say that for all teaching really, to establish some form of network or people that you can go to, especially if, you know, knowing people who've got particular skill sets that you can ask those questions and test your ideas off, bounce your ideas off is important.
I think you need to have a really strong network within your school, but you need to extend that beyond your school. And one of the things that I found, and I remember when I was in the classroom in my first school, I was really interested in this technology stuff, and it was, you know, fairly new then. But no one else in my school was, and so I had to go outside of the school to find other people who could converse with me and challenge me with ideas. And I think that's the benefit of DLTV, because that's the network that you can use. And I think when I go to the conferences, I always say it's like recharging my batteries, because sometimes when you're in schools and people don't, well, I guess it's sort of like a religion. If they don't believe the same religion as you in that technology is useful or engaging. So then I go to a conference, I recharge my batteries, and I get that it revitalizes my belief in the cause, and then I can go back and work in schools where I don't have that strong network or that strong religious following in the school, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's something I've certainly found attending the DLTV conference, is certainly that ability to touch base with people that you wouldn't normally catch up with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And there's some brilliant minds that attend those conferences. And even if it's just that one year that I see them face-to-face, it's enough to, you know, maintain that strong connection, even though I might really converse with them online in other instances.
It's enough to then go on and contact them later on down the track, so you know what they've been working on, and then you can go and ask them for more help. So,
yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, that's a nice segue, because the next question is about integrating technologies, and you've always been at the forefront of integrating technologies in your schools. Can you describe how you've started to integrate the new Victorian digital technologies into your school, and what have you been doing around that?
Yeah, look, I think I'm not going to use the word lucky, because it's not luck. We're well planned with our technology, so access to technology in the school. So that set us up really well. So we have one-to-one Chromebooks from years 3 to 6, and then we have almost one-to-one laptops from prep to 2. So we've got resources and we have other hardware that we can access. So I think we are fortunate that we're in a good position to, that's half of the battle in some schools. And that's come about through good planning. That's, you know, e-learning planning, four-year plans, that type of thing. But the other part of it is, and this is something that I see as a real challenge when I'm working with digital leaders from other schools, is that people-ware side of things. So when we're saying to we want digital technologies curriculum in every classroom, in every school, that's really challenging in that for some people, the concepts in that curriculum can see it would be akin to going in and saying, from next week, you're going to be teaching Chinese. And some people are really affronted by that and say, well, I don't have any skills in that. I've never learnt that. I don't know anything about it. You know, I don't have a background in that. So I kind of view it that, and I know that there are there's an arm of people who say that it the digital technologies curriculum should be weaved in through every topic that you're doing, or you know, it's a very idealistic view, and it'd be really great if that did happen. But I think ultimately, initially, you need to train or build the capacity of the staff in your school to get to a position where that is the end goal. So I don't think that's the starting goal. I think that's the end goal. So last year we had a go at introducing the digital technologies curriculum, and I did have conversations with staff who said, you can't expect me to teach this because I don't know anything about it. And that is hard to take, you know, at the second that they're saying it. But then I went home and had a think about it, and I thought, well, yeah, I could see how it would be quite confronting for some people. So we created a specific subject called digital technologies that the whole school studied for one term, and that allowed us to build the capacity of the staff and get all of the staff to share resources and ideas and, you know, run after school PDs and things like that for a whole term. And really it was actually about building staff knowledge and understanding more so than what we're actually achieving with the kids as our first go. So yeah, we kind of did it three ways. We had one staff member who felt that they were confident enough to go ahead and teach it, so they did that and they just ran with it in their own class. Another group who had worked who had students who were pretty up with a lot of the content, so they led a class in conjunction with their teacher. Another teacher who used the CS First program to introduce kind of coding to their class, and then another one who got had a mentor teacher go in and teach one lesson, give the teacher some homework to say, you need to complete this with your children between, you know, this lesson and the next time I come in. And then they went through in that fashion. And so, and then lots of cross class tutoring, so that if one class had made a discovery in this area, or if one teacher felt more confident in this area, then they would go into another teacher's classroom and help them, or get the children to go and help them. So, and then we finished with an ICT expo. And that was, the expo was actually aimed at changing parent ideas, because Castlemaine is, there are parts of Castlemaine that are quite alternative. There are parts of Castlemaine where people don't want any technology, any computers. We've had requests in some schools to remove all of the Wi-Fi because it's affecting students' brains. So it can be, there are pockets of some really alternate views, particularly around technology. So that the expo that we had was more about opening it up to parents to say, hey, this is what happens when kids are creators, not consumers of technology. So it was very eye-opening for the parents and the community members, because it really challenged their beliefs or their understanding about how children interact with technology. So
how did the children go with it?
Oh, the kids loved it. They totally loved it, because they got to control the computer, and it was hardly, you know, we had to stop. The kids were going home and working on their projects at home, of course, because it was so exciting, even though they were failing over and over and over again. So they absolutely loved it. And that it was great to see that even the most reluctant of teachers recognised the power of engagement that came with the digital technologies curriculum. The behaviour management wasn't a problem at all during that topic because their kids are just so sucked into it. So even though it's hard work, it is actually really hard thinking. It's not all fun and games because sometimes code doesn't work and it's really hard to work out what is it in this that isn't working. Or, you know, it could be one tiny little thing, but the kids are just – and because they had that big expo coming up and they knew that we were having lots of people coming in and actually looking at their product, that gave them a really authentic deadline to get this piece of code or whatever it was working before then. So, yeah, it was really exciting, really exciting. So that the staff now are in a position where they are going to integrate it, or they are integrating into other topics. But we couldn't have done it if we hadn't have created a specific topic first and given the staff that kind of playtime and that introduction. Yeah. So that's really exciting.
So would you do it differently next time?
No, I think the one thing that I would do differently next time is try and have more maybe video clips for parents, because I felt that it was a shame that we waited right until the end of the unit before parents really started to understand the power of this digital technologies business. So because, you know, all along the way I felt that the parents were kind of saying, oh, why are they doing games or why are they on the computers all of the time? But I wish that we'd done something differently, maybe more newsletter information or some video clips on our Facebook pages about what the kids were actually learning along the way. So they got the parents, I think they came to the, they'd changed their minds at the end once they saw the end product, but I think it would have been beneficial to have that happening throughout the unit. I was just going to say, I think it is important, in the same way that good teachers differentiate for their students, good leaders need to differentiate for their staff members. So not everyone, not all of your staff will learn the digital technologies curriculum through one method. So I think all of that great teaching practice that we have, we still need to apply that with our own teachers. They're just taller students, I guess.
Yeah, totally agree. It sounds like from a process point of view, it was almost like a sandbox type approach where you allowed the staff to go in and experiment with the students and learn on the go. Would you say that that's a good description of it?
Yeah, I would. I do hesitate about the idea of sandbox or sandpit time, because when I was involved in the, and Mel might remember this, the netbook rollout, what was that, 2010, I think, Mel? And
way back when.
Yeah. they were really advocating, they, region, were really advocating for this sandpit time, and it led to a lot of non-rigorous learning. So I really get nervous about that idea of sandpit time, because sometimes I think it sounds like it doesn't involve rigor. But I think, yeah, basically it was. We had a goal that we wanted to achieve by the end of the period of time, but we just all took different routes to get there. So yeah, I think it's probably fair to say it was sand pity.
So in your Twitter bio, Narissa, you've got there that you're determined to help kids to become successful and contributing members of a global society. Do you just be able to talk a little bit to that in being a principal of a regional school or a rural school about how you actually educate students for becoming that sort of successful and contributing members of a global society?
Yeah, look, I think in rural and regional schools it's so important for kids to understand their sense of community locally first and then within the wider world. And I guess there's a few reasons for that. They need to have that real tight sense of community in their local community so that they can feel I guess it's for their self-esteem, and so they have that sense of belonging and then that safety net to then step out into the wider world. And then there is a real issue for our kids that some of our kids, we live an hour and a half from Melbourne. Some of our kids have never been to Melbourne, or they've never been to the beach. So there's a lot of experiences that our kids are missing out on because of where they live. I think that James Molino talks a lot about that idea of postcode determining destiny. So I'm really passionate to try and break that cycle of postcode determining destiny, and that's really about just opening the world to the kids in our school so that they can see that they too can go on and do big things. Sometimes you can live in regional areas and do big things as well, but you need to have your eyes open to what else is going on out there to be able to have those things and options. So one of the really successful things that we've done for the last 3 years is to take students down to the DLTV Student Showcase, because each year it's been featured, or is it Swinburne Uni and what was last year's one? It was at
RMIT.
RMIT.
Yeah.
So ours, we have taken our kids down to that so that they can see university, and because we don't have a university in our town, and just to start to plant the seed about, you know, careers in digital technologies or in other areas that those universities offer. So, and we've had a large portion of parents come back and say to us, as a result of attending that the trip to Melbourne, my child now wants to go to this university and do this course, and they already know how much it's going to cost them because we've took them on the dormitory tour. So that has been really useful for our kids. Just actually seeing the university, that was very useful. And we also, you know, participate in Skypes and things like that to try and get kids out to see different parts of the world and speak to different people from around the world. So as a staff, we sat down a couple of years ago and we asked ourselves, what do we want our students to do, know and be when they graduate from our school? And that was really interesting because we ended up with, you know, we want them to be critical thinkers and we want them to be courageous and brave and risk takers. And then we pulled out last week's planner and said, what in your lessons supported those skills that we wanted our students to do, know and be? And so it was quite confronting for the staff because as Richard Olmos says, performance predicts or task predicts performance. And so what we were asking our kids to do wasn't aligning with what we wanted them to, you know, the skill set that we wanted them to walk out of our school with in the end. So we continually pull our do, know and be back out to say, are we still on task with this? Is it on track with this? Is this something that we're actually achieving? So that's been, and that's been right down to what happens in the schoolyard. So we wanted our kids to be problem solvers. And when we were doing our student engagement policy, we realized that when our kids came to us in the yard, the first, you know, they would dump a problem at our feet, such and such as being mean to me, and then it was the teacher's issue to deal with. And so we're, on the one hand, we're saying we want them to be problem solvers, but we were automatically stepping in and solving the problem for them. So now we've changed what we do to say, and what have you tried? You know, what are you doing about that? So it's been quite confronting for the kids, the looks that you get when you say, and what are you doing about that? They look at you as if to say, well, that's your job to do something about that. Yeah. So it's been really, we're trying to make sure that it's across everything that we do in the school, because it shouldn't just be a 1 hour, okay, everyone, we're going to be problem solvers. So it needs to be, yeah. If we want them to be lifelong learners and we want them to be real problem solvers, then that has to be in everything we do, not just that one lesson. So, yeah, it's been really interesting, actually, that. And it's hard. It's really hard because we kind of get caught up in the curriculum and, you know, rushing through this and that. And and it's so easy to steer back to what we used to do. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Sounds like it's about trying to enculturate it and build it as part of your cultural stance.
Yeah, and that takes a while to do too.
Well, thanks, Narissa, for coming along. We really appreciate hearing about all the wonderful things that you're doing at both your two schools as principal. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish up?
I would only highly recommend people to look for leadership positions in their schools, because you just don't know what you've got in you until you actually start doing it and giving it a go. So, yeah, I think have a look around. There's lots of support networks available online to help you with that. But, yeah, I definitely recommend it. I've loved everything I've done in leadership, and it's hard, but it's really rewarding. So, go ahead and give it a go.
Great. Well, that's some really great advice there for people who are thinking about going into leadership. And the things that you've talked about tonight are really some things that people can take back into their classrooms or their schools, whether they're in leadership positions or teaching positions, and think about the way that that they're doing things. So thanks very much for being with us today, Narissa. Now, I just want to update our members quickly on a couple of events that we've got coming up. So we've got the Digital Technologies Curriculum Overview, which is a webinar on April 20th. That'll start at 4:30. And we've also got an Exploring the Digitech Curriculum Through Inquiry Learning. And I do encourage everybody to come along to that one. I must admit, probably because it's a session that I'm running. But there's two webinars that we'll run in the next few weeks. So the Exploring Digitech Curriculum Through Inquiry is on the 1st of May at 4:30. So if you head along to the DLTV website at dltv.vic.edu.au, you'll be able to sign up to those events for free.
And also don't forget to save these two dates, July 27 and 28, for the DLTV conference, DigiCon 17. And we've got some fantastic keynotes that have already been announced. We've got Tony Brandenburg, who I do believe we're going to be recording in a podcast coming up soon, as well as the wonderful Beck Spink. So please keep your ear close to the ground. I think EOI for speakers is now closed, but certainly the program and the link to come and participate in the conference will be coming out very shortly.
Great. Okay. Thanks for listening, everyone. And thanks again for joining us, Narissa. Please don't forget to share the podcast within your networks using the DLTV podcast hashtag. And we'll see you all again soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.